Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. This month we have a treasure of knowledge for you. As well as learning about Ramadan, we'll be focusing on the Holy Quran, its benefits and why we should establish a relationship with it. You'll also learn the common mistakes people make in recitation, and also answers to questions such as, why does Surah Tawbah in the 10th chapter have no Bismillah Sharif? Why is the Quran not in the order of revelation? The Quran took 23 years to complete, but then it states it descended on the night of Shab-e Qadr. And more questions. Also in the program, we have a special Ramadan message from Amir-e-Sunni Dawat-e-Islami, Maulana Muhammad Shakir Nuri. So please take time out and listen to the whole of this program, and you're guaranteed to learn something you never knew before. Inshallah.
آئے رمضان آ گیا دل کو ملا کیف و سرور قلب کو راحت ملی اور مل گیا آنکھوں کو نور ہے یہ واجب صدقہ دے محتاج کا دامن بھرے ہم تراویح اور نمازوں روزوں کے عامل رہے روزہ رکھ کر ہر گھڑی ذکر خدا کرتے رہے ہم گناہوں سے بچے حمد و ثنا کرتے رہے روزہ دوزخ سے بچا لیتا ہے روزہ دار کو روزہ تھا پیارا جناب احمد مختار کو جس نے حکم مصطفیٰ مانا خدا کو پا گیا
مومن رمضان کا ماہ مبارک آ گیا مومن رمضان کا ماہ مبارک آ گیا
اللہ اللہ اور کوئی لطف عبادت پا گیا
مومن رمضان کا ماہ مبارک آ گیا مومن رمضان کا ماہ مبارک آ گیا.
So what is the purpose of Ramadan? What message does it bring for the Muslim Ummah and the wonders of the Quran? We take a look at what it has in store for us. And to tell us all about that is a scholar from Bolton.
And an envoy, or a mubalig of Sunni Dawat Islami.
Maulana Hussein, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And first and foremost, Ramadan Mubarak.
Khair Mubarak to you as well.
MashaAllah. So what we're saying, is it getting harder?
I'm getting used to it now, alhamdulillah.
We're getting used to it. 10 days early every year.
Yep.
Thanks to the lunar calendar. Yeah, but hey, what's the problem? You know, the longer we wait for the iftari, the more blessings we get.
Of course, mashallah.
So, yeah, alhamdulillah, benefits all the way. Now, Maulana Hussein, tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, you studied at Manchester University?
Yes, I did. I did a degree in Arabic studies. And alhamdulillah, I've been blessed having a very blessed father, Maulana Muhammad Iqbal, Misbahi, that he trained me from a very young age. I learned a lot of my religion through my father and also my teacher, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Ayyub Sahab Qibla Ashrafi from Bolton.
MashaAllah. So you studied 3 years and then you also went for a year in Egypt.
Yes, just to acquaint myself with the Arabic language and improve my language and grammar and everything to do with the Quran and Hadith as well, because we tend to read the Quran but we don't understand the Quran. So it's very important, especially for us, to understand the Quran. Mm-hmm. So Arabic is a vital importance in our life.
Talking about Egypt, I mean, firstly, just let me clarify, the courses you learnt in Manchester, was that linked to Egypt course?
It was part of the course.
Part of the course.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. So it was an Arabic course,
yeah,
if you like.
Arabic course.
So you're quite proficient in Arabic, yeah, I believe. Arabic. Now, as well as you also teach ESOL, which is a English learning course in Manchester. You also teach at the SDI Centre in Bolton course, as well.
Yes, I teach Arabic as well as Seerah, the life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Muslim Masail, jurisprudence,
okay,
all in English. So it benefits the youth as well.
MashaAllah. So you have a really busy schedule.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I appreciate you come here in Ramadan as well, MashaAllah. So I appreciate taking the time out. Now, before you tell us a bit about the Quran and that you have a topic lined up for, tell us a bit more about this blessed month of the holy month of Ramadan and its benefits. What does it have in store for the Muslim Ummah?
Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa la aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya wal mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. My respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, we should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties, that throughout our lives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us many of His great bounties and blessings. And one of His great blessings is the month of Ramadan itself. And as you know, the month of Ramadan comes with many other blessings and bounties. Let me narrate to you one hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's a sound hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning about the month of Ramadan, the bounties of Ramadan. He states that when Ramadan comes, the gates of paradise are opened, the gates of hellfire locked, and the devils, the shayateen, are chained. So you see from this hadith the importance and the blessing of the month of Ramadan. Now, what is month of Ramadan? Now, as you know, month of Ramadan is a month of training. It trains us spiritually as well as physically. Now, we can observe that in month of Ramadan we see our mosques being filled. We see brothers who never attended the mosque before throughout the year, they eagerly come into the masjid. Those who never opened the Quran throughout the whole year, they're now trying to strive and they try to endeavor to complete the whole Quran. Why? Because as the hadith states, that the shayateen are chained. Okay? And the doors of heaven are open, so we see the blessing of Ramadan in this very blessed month.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, we need to understand first, what's the meaning of Ramadan? The literal meaning, dictionary meaning of Ramadan.
Yeah.
Now, Ramadan is derived from the word Ramadan. Okay? And in Arabic, or Ramidah. Ramadan means to burn. Okay? Something is burning, the ground is burning, we say Ramadan al-Ard. Okay? The earth is burning. Now, similarly, the hadith states that when a person fasts, then his sins are burnt away.
Subhanallah, okay.
So this is the reason why the month of Ramadan is called month of Ramadan. Now, the beauty of this month is we see approximately 1.6 billion Muslims. In other words, one in every five people in this world, they fast in this very blessed month.
Subhanallah.
You see the importance of Ramadan. Now, let us understand, why do we fast? Okay, what's the purpose, what's the objective of fasting in month of Ramadan? So we come to the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells the believers, O believers, fasting has been made compulsory upon you, like it was made compulsory upon those before you. Why? What's the objective? What is the reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious.
Subhanallah.
So piety is the main reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us fasts, or sawm in Arabic. Now, sawm literally means to abstain. But in Sharia, sawm means to abstain from food, drink, from Subah Sadiq, from dawn to dusk, till sunset. This is called Siyam or Sawm in Arabic. Now, fasting in the month of Ramadan became farz in the second year of Hijri, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, and then he stayed there for 2 years, and then this revelation came. That all believers, fasting in the month of Ramadan has become compulsory upon you.
Subhanallah.
Now, prior to this, okay, the Muslims were urged to fast on the 10th of Muharram, once a year.
Right.
This was the compulsory fast. And then, when the Ramadan came, when the fasting of Ramadan came, the 10th Muharram, the fasting of the 10th Muharram became optional. Okay. So, the whole reason why we gain Ramadan, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us fasts and Siyam, is to gain taqwa. just to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you need to judge yourself. After the month of Ramadan, if your life does not change, if you find no change in your manners, no change in your behavior, no change in your life, that means you have attained no blessing and you have not attained the objective of Ramadan.
Oh.
But there are certain, alhamdulillah, certain people that as soon as the month of Ramadan finishes, you see a tremendous change in their lives. This is a sign.
Subhanallah.
This is alama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their fasting.
Subhanallah.
Now, some people, they fast and they find no tranquility, no piety in their fast. Now, let me warn them from hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are many people who fast in the month of Ramadan, but they gain nothing except thirst and hunger. And there are many people who stand in the prayer, Tarawih, and they find nothing except sleepiness.
Mm.
Like you feel tiredness. Okay? So we get to know that the whole objective of Ramadan is to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we fulfill this, and how can we judge? How can we estimate? How can we find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our fasts? All you do is check your life after Ramadan. So, what's the blessing of this month? Is the blessed night of Laylul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylul Qadr. That indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, we have revealed this Quran in the night of power. وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what do you know of Laylul Qadr? Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr. That Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So if you spend this one night in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping, asking for forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that this night will be better than 1,000 months. So this is the whole objective of Ramadan. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us more ability and strength to spend the days and nights in the obedience of Allah, in the ta'ah, in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen. Subhanallah, mashallah. Very enlightening there. Overview of Ramadan and how we should benefit from it and maximize its benefits, and focus solely on getting the closestness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept us, our deeds. Now, Maulana Hussein, you're also going to be talking about on the theme of Ramadan. Now, obviously, we open our fast and close our fast, and I think it'll be quite nice to learn about what these du'as are and what these du'as mean. So when people, inshallah, our listeners, do open their fast and close their fast, they will, inshallah, recall this and what exactly it means, and inshallah, it'll be quite beneficial. So would it be possible if we just go through the sehri niyat first, and then the translation of that?
The general niyat people make is, Nawaitu an asuma ghadan lillahi ta'ala min faradi ramadana hadha. Okay, so it means, Nawaitu, I intended, an asuma, to fast, ghadan, tomorrow, lillahi ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min faradi ramadana hadha, fasting for the month of Ramadan, the compulsory fast.
Subhanallah.
That's the niyat for sehri.
Right.
That we only fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. That's the meaning of the sehri niyat. Right. And what about the iftari one?
The iftari one. Allahumma inni laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftart. Subhanallah. What a beautiful niyah this is. Okay, it says, Allahumma, O Allah, inni laka sumtu, I have fasted for your sake, wa bika amantu, and have brought faith on you, wa alayka tawakkaltu, and I depend on you.
Subhanallah.
And then, wa ala rizqika aftartu, and I break my fast with the provisions you provided with.
Subhanallah.
So this is the meaning of the intention when you break the fast.
Now, like as Maulana Hussein mentioned at the beginning, that this month of Ramadan also is a very vital part of to the month of Ramadan, the Quran Sharif. Before we start, let's have a listen to a beautiful recitation.
يا أيها النبي لم تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم والله مولاكم وهو العليم الحكيم وإذ أسر النبي إلى بعض أزواجه حديثا فلما نبأت به وأظهره الله عليه عرف بعضه وأعرض عن بعض فلما نبأها به قالت من أنبأك هذا؟ قال نبأني العليم الخبير.
We're going to be focusing on Quran Sharif now for a few moments, and he's going to be telling us a bit more about Quran itself, its benefits, and some of its wonders, if I may put it that way. Now, Maulana Hussein, just before you do start, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, Quran Sharif is something, I mean, let's be honest, it's something that people rarely pick up outside the month of Ramadan. It's something that people tend to not spare much time for. Then why are we surprised when problems knock on our doors? Maybe you can touch up a bit upon that.
As soon as the month of Ramadan comes, we see people picking up the Quran. Why? Because there's a very great bond between Ramadan and Quran. Why? Because the first wahi, the first verse of the Quran revealed to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in fact in month of Ramadan. Okay, and that is the reason why we tend to see many of our brothers and of course sisters trying to complete the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan. Now also let me give you the benefit, the virtue of reading the Quran. Now the hadith states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who recites the Quran, then for every letter he recites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him 10 rewards. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am not saying alif lam mim is a letter. I am saying alif is a letter, lam is a letter, and mim is a letter. In other words, if you just were to say alif lam mim, the three letters of the Quran, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you 30 rewards.
Subhanallah.
And now, Maqbul Bhai, if you ask any scholar, any learned person, what's the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? Okay? They will say, we don't know.
Really?
There's no meaning to Alif Lam Mim. There is meaning, but we don't know.
Okay.
It's one of the secrets of the Quran,
right,
which only Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know. Now, from this hadith, we get to know, even if you don't understand the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, you don't understand what it means. But even if you don't understand the Quran, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Yeah? So this is the greatness of the Quran. And reading Quran is something optional. Because it's not something false, nothing binding upon you. It's something people tend to do in the month of Ramadan.
Reading Quran, yeah?
Reading the Quran.
Okay.
And now, in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam get to know that any optional deed you do, any optional prayer you do, any nafl ibadah you do, then the reward will be as if he has done a fard act, a farz act.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And any farz act, compulsory act you do in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall multiply his reward 70 times.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So we get to know now. Let me give you an example. If you say alif, yeah, out in other months except in the month of Ramadan, alif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will automatically give you 10 rewards.
Right.
But if you were to say this in namaz, which is compulsory, in the month of Ramadan, automatically, instead of 10 times 70, how many is that? 700.
Subhanallah.
If you just to say one letter in your prayer, in first namaz, okay, automatically, for every letter you pray in namaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should reward you 700 words or more.
Subhanallah.
So this is the blessing, this is the barakah of the Quran, especially in the month of Ramadan.
MashaAllah.
Now, talking about our great Imam, whom we follow, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Right.
Do you know that Imam Azam used to complete 61 times the recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan?
61?
61 times.
Allahu Akbar.
One in the daytime,
yes.
One in the night time, and one in the Taraweeh prayer. Allah. 61 times 61. He used to read the Quran. This was his habitual thing. That every year, as soon as the month of Ramadan comes, he used to recite the Quran 61 times. So you see the importance of reading the Quran in the month of Ramadan.
Allah.
Okay, to gain the barakah, to gain the blessing. Also, it is a cure. That anyone who is ill, okay, anyone who has any sorts of problems, as soon as he opens the Quran, he finds the solutions.
Subhanallah.
So this is the Quran.
MashaAllah. Right.
Okay. Now, what's the Quran? Quran, the literal meaning of Quran is something being read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Quran, and as you know, you'd be astonished to know, the most read book in the whole entire world is the Holy Quran.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
Okay. And the beauty of Quran is that, or we can say the one of the miracles of Quran is, regardless of how many times you read the Quran, you'll never be bored.
SubhanAllah. Yes,
how many times you read Surah Fatiha in namaz?
Yes.
Yeah. How many times you read Surah Ikhlas, for example, in Salah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You never get bored.
That's right.
Yeah. This is the miracle of the Quran. Even if you know Arabic, even if you have the Quran, yeah, you tend to read it.
Yes.
The more you read it, you are fond of the Quran. You fall in love with the Quran.
MashaAllah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is the sifa of the awliya kiram. Okay. The more they read, okay, the more they wanted to read. Yeah. So this is the beauty, that we never get bored. But if you, for example, get Harry Potter book, yeah, you read it once more, that's it, you know the story.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to read it anymore.
That's right.
Someone talks about it, you don't want to know. But look here, we read the Quran, we listen to the Quran, yeah, we tend to read the translation of the Quran, we tend to understand the meaning of the Quran, yet we never bored. This is one of the miracles of the Quran. Okay, so Quran is the unchangeable word of Allah. It's a challenge to the mankind till the day of judgment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they doubt the Quran, try to change it. They will never be able to change it. They will not able to change one letter of the Quran. It's a guaranteed protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Now, very important, the Quran was revealed in the Laylul Qadr. Yes? And also, on the other hand, we get to hear that Quran was revealed in 23 years.
That's right, yes.
So how is this possible? So now, in Arabic, there are two words. One is anzala. Inna anzalnahu. Anzala is to descend something once, to bring it down once.
Right.
Now, the Quran was in the divine tablet, Lawh-e Mahfuz. Okay? By the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels brought the Quran from the beyond Arsh,
right,
to the first sky. And this happened in Laylul Qadr.
SubhanAllah.
So according to the needs, according to the events, the verses were revealed.
Right.
So in a span of 23 years and few months, the Quran was completely revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the whole Quran, okay, from the divine tablet, it was descended to the first sky in Laylul Qadr. Okay, and then from the first sky to the earth, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it took approximately 23 years and a few months.
Right.
Now, as you know, there's 30 chapters in the Quran.
Yeah.
Consists of 114 surahs, or you can call it sub-chapters.
Right.
And 540 rukus. And 6,666 verses of the Quran. And interestingly, the meaning of verse in Arabic is ayah. So we can say there are 6,666 ayats in the Quran. And do you know what's the meaning of ayah? The literal meaning of ayah.
No.
It means a sign, a miracle.
Really?
Yeah. So that means every verse of the Quran is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, so the Quran, approximately, according to one narration, it consists of 6,666 miracles.
Love.
Yeah, so this is the beauty of Quran.
Fascinating.
And the Quran, as well as having the outer meanings, it has inner meaning, the spiritual meaning. And I can still remember, there's one Shaykh, great Mufassir, great scholar of Islam, Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi radiallahu ta'ala, states the Quran consists of 70,000 different sciences.
SubhanAllah, 70,000
different fields of knowledge and sciences.
In the Quran?
In the Quran. Okay. This is according to one scholar. Then imagine, the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who received the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Quran, contemplate the Quran, try to understand what Allah subhanahu really wants. Okay, as Ali radul states, to ponder upon one verse of the Quran, to ponder upon what?
One verse.
Is better than 1 year's worship.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? Just ponder upon Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we're going to talk about this later on.
Yes.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Just ponder upon this. That praises be to Allah, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Just contemplate about it. That the whole system of the universe, okay, the moon, the stars, you can see the clouds moving. Where does this energy come from? It's from Allah.
Bishop.
Okay, He is the greatest artist. He is the one, okay, who runs the whole universe. Bishop. The birds flying. Who provides food to birds? Who provides food to the animals, to the fish, to the ants? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? So we need to understand that Quran is not there just to be read verbally. It's there to understand, to contemplate. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. As many verses in the Quran, so that you understand. Aql. Okay, brain, your mind, use your mind. Okay? So if non-believers, just to read the Quran, okay, with open mind, no doubt, okay, they will accept Islam. They will accept these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us and give us all the ability to understand the true meanings of the Quran.
Ameen, ameen. Subhanallah, very fascinating facts by Maulana Hussein there, subhanallah, about Quran Sharif. Now, it's very obvious to say that the Quran Sharif, mashallah, goes above and beyond the discoveries of science.
تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ عَسَى رَبُّهُ طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات ثيبات.
You're going to be doing a bit of a tilawat for us,
okay.
Surah Fatiha tilawat, and then you're going to be telling us a bit more about how to pronounce the correct letters again in Arabic. It's a very important part of the podcast here. So, so when you're ready, let's start the tilawat first, and then we'll go on to the next stage.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. صدق الله العظيم.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was really, really beautiful recitation of the Quran there. Before we move on, what I was saying, just wanted to know, I mean, you prayed very beautifully there. I mean, every letter that you pronounced was very, very clear. I mean, have you always prayed Grand Sharif like that? I mean, for me, I'd love to pray like that, but I don't know the pronunciation as clear as that, the N's and the R's and all that. Mm-hmm. Is that something anybody can learn, or how does one get to that level where they can recite so beautifully and clearly as that?
I think first you need a teacher, someone to teach you.
Right.
Okay. Without a teacher, you cannot learn. And that's obvious. With any language, with any skill, you need a teacher.
True.
Secondly, you need to practice.
Okay.
Okay. If you don't practice, you may learn the theory. Okay. You know how to drive.
Mm.
But if you don't practice,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're in danger.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a teacher. And then you need to practice, and you need to listen to the professionals at the same time.
SubhanAllah.
Okay. You need to learn from others.
Right.
Okay. So these are three things, key facts.
Right.
The factors that will enable you to learn the Quran the way it should be read properly.
MashaAllah.
Yeah.
That's definitely worth taking time out for that, MashaAllah. Very beautiful. Now, like we mentioned, he's going to be going through the recitation or the actual Surah Fatiha, and he's going to point out the common errors people make in everyday reciting the Surah Fatiha in namaz and what have you. So over to you, Maulana Hussain.
Before I begin, I just want to clarify that it's nearly impossible to teach the listeners
mm-hmm.
the correct way of recitation.
Okay.
Okay. It's not possible in 5-10 minutes.
Right.
Okay. As I told you, you need practice. It's months of learning.
Yeah.
Practice. It may take months, mm-hmm. may take years.
Okay.
Yeah. But inshallah, I just want to highlight the common errors people make.
And people can actually...
people may...
You know, bring the Quran Sharif in front of them at this moment, obviously having wuzu first, and go through it.
Yeah.
And they'll hopefully be more clear on
what... Okay, so now, prior to the Quran... before touching, as you said, touching the Quran, you need to be in a state of cleanliness, being in a state of wuzu.
Mm.
So when you open the Quran, when you sit down to pray the Quran, first thing you recite is ta'awudh. A'udhu billah. Yeah. So I'm going to read and I'm going to highlight the common errors people make. Yeah. A'udhu.
Mm-hmm.
The first is hamza, or we call it alif, but actually it's hamza, and then ayn. Ayn is from the middle of the throat.
Right.
A'udhu. And then we have dhal. The tip of the tongue
mm-hmm.
touching the tip of the first two teeth, top teeth.
A'udhu.
Okay? A'udhu. Now people say a'udhu.
A'udhu.
Or in verse, a'udhu.
Yes.
Yeah?
Don't
so
mention.
That's wrong. That's incorrect.
Yes.
A'udhu. Billahi. Okay. So a'udhu billahi. من الشيطان الرجيم طا okay the طا as you say
yeah.
طا is read with a full mouth okay fully heavily so شيطان الرجيم
شيطان الرجيم
شيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم is also from middle of the throat as if you know, for example, your glass is stained,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you tend to breathe on the glass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah? You know, to clean it
yes.
after. Yeah? Bismillahirrah.
Hirrah.
Yeah, the ha from the Rahim. Two ha's,
mm-hmm.
okay, as you can see in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Now we have Alhamdu. Now, I've heard this many times. People say Allah, Alhamdu, Alhamdu.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Allah, it's Alhamdu.
Alhamdu.
Okay? They have this rebounding effect. Allah, Allah.
Yeah.
Okay? This Alhamdu. It's Alhamdu.
Alhamdu.
It's Alhamdu.
Oh, Alhamdu. Yeah.
Alhamdu lillahi rabbil. Now, the ra here is full mouth. Why? Because the ra has got fatha, it's got zabar. Therefore, any ra which has zabar on it will be read fully, heavily. Rabbil alamin. Then we have another ayn. Alamin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. And then similar, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the two has, mm-hmm. very important. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Maliki, it's not Maliki.
Maliki, that's many, Maliki. Hear many people say.
Yeah, that, Maliki. Yes. Maliki. Maliki Yawm Al-Din, me, mid, not med. Ma, people say Maliki Yawm Al-Din, it's not my din. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Now this is very important. Iyaka, iyya. Okay, I think you can hear me. That my tongue is touching the palate. The top. Iyya, iyya, iyya. Yeah, iyaka. It's not iyaka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people say iyaka. It's not iyya. Iyaka. So you should emphasize the ya mushaddad. It's got tashdid. Iyaka na'budu. The ayn again. Now common error people make here is na'budu. They extend the dal.
Right.
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. This is incorrect. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I've not extended it.
Right.
إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yeah? There's te and then عَيْن. So عَيْن, as I told you, from the middle of the throat. نَسْتَعِينَ. And then another common error, people say ihdina.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's not eh, it's ih.
Ihdina.
Yeah? Ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Ihdina sa, full mouth. Ihdina sirat, I told you ra, if it's got zabar,
mm-hmm.
the ra got zabar, a fatha, okay, it's full mouth. Sirat, and I told you ta. Yeah? You remember about ta?
Full mouth.
Full mouth. Yeah? Share ta. So اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Now this qaf, now it's very important, yeah, to distinguish between qaf and kaf. Very right. I just forgot, I just remembered, yeah.
Okay.
Just for the listeners. Now qaf is when the root of the tongue, do you know when the tongue starts? Okay? From there, when it touches the top of the mouth,
right.
Okay, qaf.
Qaf.
Qaf. Yeah? You say haqqo. Yeah,
right.
Qaf. And when it's normal English, K. Ka. Qa. Ka. The root of the tongue touches the top of the mouth. Mustaqim. It's like clicking noise. Qa. Qa. Yeah? And the same word. Sirat al-ladhina. Dhina. Dhal. The same dhal as we had in A'udhu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Sirat al-ladhina. It's not sirat al-ladhina. Or it's not sirat al-ladhina. Ma'adullah, right. Some people say. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta. An, an, and then we have ayn. An'amta. And common error people make an'amta. Ana. They say ana. It's not ana. It's an'amta.
An'amta.
Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. So you have another ayn here. Alayhim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And then we have Ghoin. Okay, one of the difficult letters of the Quran, Ghoin. Yeah? Ghoin is from the top of the throat.
Right.
Okay? And fully, full mouth. Gho.
Gho.
Gho. Yeah? Ghoiril. Ghoiril.
It's not Ghoir.
It's not Ghoir. It's not Ghoir. Yeah? It's not Ghoir. Ma'adul. Yeah? It's Gho. Ghoiril. Ghoiril. Mag. You have Ghoin here again. Mag. It's not Mag. Magdubi, as people say, okay? It's mau, full mouth. Okay, you should reach, the ghain is full mouth. Magdubi. Now, dad, now, interestingly, to tell the listeners as well, is dad is the only letter which is found in Arabic.
It's found in Arabic?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
In other words, you never find dad in any other languages in the whole world. That's why the Arabs, okay, the Arabic, the Arabs, they are known as Ahlul Dad, the people of the letter of Dad.
Right.
Because it's only found in Arabic.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, how is it pronounced? It's very difficult.
Yes.
Okay. You can choose left or right. You choose. Now, the side of the tongue touching the gums, upper gums, the side of the teeth.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you turn, yeah, it's difficult. Okay. There was only one person in history of Islam who could do it from both sides together. And that has Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You can't do it. Is this impossible to pronounce Dad having the side of the tongue touching the side, the gums? The side of the teeth. It's impossible. Okay? So you choose right or left. I choose right.
Okay.
But people choose left. It's personal choice. Yeah? Do. Do. Yeah?
Do.
Do. It's not da. Dal. There's a difference between dal and do. Dal is normal. It has D in English. Yeah? Do. It's slightly... when the side of the tongue touches the gums. The side of the teeth.
Side of the tongue.
Yeah?
Right.
The ghayril maghdubi. Do. Yeah? Dubi. Dubi. You can feel the air.
Yeah.
When you pronounce do. The door, yeah? I press my cheek. Okay. You could hear, yeah, the air coming out. Dubi. Ghayril maghdubi. It's not maghdubi. Maghdubi.
Maghdubi.
Maghdubi. Alayhim. Alayhim. Alayhim.
Him.
Walad. And then door coming.
Yeah.
Ghayril maghdubi alayhim walad dallin. So any letter which got tashdeed, you know that W sign,
yes.
Yeah, mushaddad, you say, gives emphasis. What are, you can see, what are dallin. So we've got two letters with mushaddad, tashdeed. One is dod, one is lam. So you can, the listener knows he's giving emphasis because there's a mushaddad, there's a tashdeed. What are dallin. It's not what are dallin.
As you often hear, yes.
As it's common. It's not wala darling. Wala do. Full mouth. Wala do. Leen. Ameen. So I think this is enough.
Let me stop you at that point. Because we're saying prerequisites of reciting the Quran. That remind me of Tarawis.
Yes.
Now, Tarawis, I hate to say this, and I'm sure many people agree that many reciters, they just whiz through what they're reciting from A to Z, whatever they have to pray for that day. Now, very little, you know, attention is given to these words, these letters you mentioned. What happens there?
Ma'adallah, Allah forbid. I was reading books. It is haram to read Quran in such a manner that people don't understand you. Yeah, if you were to read the Quran, if you were to whiz through the Quran, okay, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be certain recital of Quran, but the Quran will curse the reciter.
Allah.
Why? Because there will be certain individual, they will not read the Quran the way it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so ma'adhal in tarawih, this is what we see. Okay, people want speed.
Yes, okay? They prefer speed over
speed
quality. Yes,
over quality. Yeah, because people, this is the time of speed.
Mm.
You want speed cars, speed printers, everything speed. Yeah, and speed is from shaitan.
Yes.
In the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, al-ujlatu min ash-shaitan. The speed is from shaitan. Yeah, so and in this month when shaitan are chained, okay, you are become the shaitan. Ma'adallah. Yeah, so you have to read the Quran the way it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, okay. People want to whiz through. Even me, people who understand Arabic, they don't even understand what they're reading. And I've told by many kuffars, many people who memorize the Quran, even they don't understand.
I've experienced that. That's true.
What they read in the
Arabic. It's sad to say
it's
that.
It's a sad thing.
It is.
Okay. So we should inform those who read the Taraweeh to make sure at least speed, not too fast. But at least pronounce each letter from its correct place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right. Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. I must say, if the listeners have not picked anything up in that whole session of 5-10 minutes, we must say that at least if you can pick up the fact that how important it is, if you've learned even the fact that how important it is to recite each and every single letter of the Quran, did you hear how difficult it was when Mawlana was going through that? And yet people, like we mentioned, just go through it without any care in the world.
Yeah, true.
So it's very important, brothers and sisters, that you do pay complete attention.
It's not a normal
Try your best.
Book. It's not a normal book. It's a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, yes. And you won't learn this overnight.
No.
Like you said, you have to practice, listen to professional reciters, and look inside the Quran, and just keep practicing. And this is a really good month to do that.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة
وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون يا أيها الذين كفروا لا تعتذروا اليوم إنما تجزون ما كنتم تعملون.
Okay, now, and for the final part of the chat we're having with Maulana Hussein, who's, mashallah, been enlightening us with a lot of Islamic knowledge within the last 50 minutes or so. Now is a questions and answers time, and probably the most interesting part of the podcast as well. Maulana Hussein, just before we do go into a bit more about Quran Sharif again and Ramzan, you mentioned that about Ramzan. Question is, when you open your fasts, we learned the iftari dua. We've noticed people always open their iftari or do the iftari with khujur. I mean, one of my friends pointed this out, and he wanted to know, why is it everywhere in the whole world people 99.9% open their iftari with khujur? Why is that? Why khujur?
The main reason is because it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as narrated by Imam Ahmad in his book, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Break your fast by eating dates." Okay. Why? Because it is purifying. It purifies your soul.
Subhanallah.
And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is narrated by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The date that is from the high branch is a cure." It cures you. Okay, that is one of the reasons. Okay, now scientifically talking, okay, talking through science, date is one of the oldest fruit trees in the world.
Really?
Yeah, it is known as the tree of life.
Yeah? Okay.
Another interesting fact about date, the palm trees, palm trees, is there are about approximately 105 million date trees around the world.
How many?
105 million, approximately.
A lot, bro.
Yeah. And of which 62 million mm-hmm. are found in the Arab world.
62 million.
Oh. Okay. Now, when you abstain from food and drink, okay, the glucose level, the sugar level of your body, the nutrients, okay, they decrease. Now, the beauty of date is, as soon as you eat the date, in matters of seconds, okay, your sugar level increases.
So as soon as it enters your body, it revives the levels.
Yeah, it's been proven by scientists and doctors. Yeah, as soon as you eat the khajur, yes, okay, the tamr in Arabic we call, okay, the date, okay, the glucose level in the blood increases. Okay, why? Because 70% of the khajur, mm-hmm. okay, the tamar, the date, is made out of sugar, glucose or fructose. Okay, and it also has good source of iron,
mm-hmm.
potassium, calcium, sulfur, phosphorus, which is good for building muscles. Okay, also many important vitamins. Okay, like thiamine, biotin, folic acids. Okay, these are very important for your body. So it's a very small khajur, tamr, yeah, very small date, but it consists of the most vital ingredients and nutrients of vitamins of your body.
Subhanallah.
That's the reason why we have dates.
I'm just astounded by all that. Alhamdulillah, yeah. Just in the khajur, all them benefits.
So you only open because the Prophet mentioned it, not because the science has proved it.
Yes.
Okay. Anything we do, yes, we only do it in order to fulfill the commandment from Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah. So it's a sunnah for a reason. These sunnahs are, mashallah, there for a particular reason. We many don't even realize the benefits of such sunnahs. Right. Now, again, about Quran Sharif. Why isn't the Quran written in the surah Revelation? For example, Iqra' Bismi was the first surah. Why does Quran Sharif start with Surah Fatiha and then Alif Lam Mim? Why not Iqra Bismih?
Very good question. As I mentioned earlier, that Quran was revealed in night of power, Nur al-Qadr, the whole Quran. Okay? The Quran which we have is the exact order which is in the Quran, which is in the first heaven.
Subhanallah.
This is divine.
Okay.
Now the question you ask, very good question. Then why is Iqra at the end? Why not in the order? Because Quran was revealed according to the events, according to the problems people faced
right.
at that time. Yeah. So Allah revealed certain verses at certain times.
Okay.
But the order, the Prophet ﷺ told the companions, put this surah here, put this surah here, put this verse next to this surah, put this surah next to this verse, for example, yeah? Because he was divinely commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew the Quran, how I was in the first heaven, in Lawa Mahfuz, the order of the Quran,
okay.
which is already ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put the Quran in that divine order. But the verses were revealed according to the events, yeah. according to the problems, according to the various incidents that took place during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Right. So does that mean the surahs at the beginning were more important?
No, there's no. It's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's divinely ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can also see that the longest surahs are in the very beginning and the shorter surahs are at the end. Okay, so it's a possibility that longer surahs were placed first, okay, and then start going, and then at the end we have shorter surahs.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, should tilawat in mehfil be done loudly or should it be done quietly? There's a bit of a confusion amongst the community, I've noticed anyway. When somebody's actually doing reciting in the khatam or something, some people always utter some words saying, read it quietly. But yet, we're not sure. Okay. What is it?
So I presume talking about khatam, yeah. when people, all of them praying together.
Gathering, yeah? Yes.
The ulama, the scholars, they have stated it is haram for all of them to pray together loudly. It's forbidden. Why? Because if someone reads the Quran, let's say you're in a gathering
mm-hmm.
where Quran is to be recited. If you present yourself in that gathering and someone is reciting Quran, then it is fard, it is compulsory upon you to be quiet and listen to Quran.
Okay.
That's the reason. Now what happens in khatam? One person reading loudly, other person reading loudly. Who's hearing who?
Mm.
No one's listening. Okay? So they're all going against the teaching of Quran. Okay? So that's why when you're in a khatam,
yes.
or in a gathering where Quran is to be recited, and if everyone are to recite at the same time, they should recite silently, quietly.
Okay.
But, of course, in madrasa, where the children are there, okay, because they need to learn the Quran,
mm-hmm.
they're allowed to read loudly.
Okay.
Okay. But if you just if you were to recite it in a gathering or in a mehfil, for example, then you should all read it silently.
And if you're reciting by yourself?
Yes, by yourself.
Again, silently or quietly?
Like whispering, so that you can hear yourself.
Ah,
it's very
right.
important.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
The recitation means here to recite it so loud that you can hear yourself.
Right.
Now, a very good thing you touched upon this, because many people, when they pray their namazes, for example, or their salah, they tend to read in
their
minds.
Yes.
Okay? To recite the Quran in namaz, in salah, is compulsory.
Okay.
Okay? So if you don't recite the Quran, if you were not to recite so loud that you can hear yourself, your namaz will not count. So it's very important that you recite it. It should be audible.
Right.
Generally, it should be audible.
Loud enough so you can hear
loud
it yourself.
Loud enough you can hear yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not classed as it's reciting. Which is, again, an important point there. Subhanallah. Quran Sharif, again, when and how does one perform sajdas? People do khadams of the Quran. Many don't even notice the sajdahs there. Firstly, if you can just touch upon how important sajdahs are, and then just tell us how one performs this sajdah. Is it immediately? Can we do it after the khatam? And how is it done?
Okay. If you are reciting the Quran in namaz, in salah, and if you were to recite the ayah of sajdah tilawah, okay, then you have to do the sajda immediately, like we see in Taraweeh. You know, okay, they say, yes, before they stand up, before they commence the salah, they say there will be a sajda in the second rakat.
Right.
Okay, so people understand. Mm. So as soon as they recite the verse, they go straight into sajda. Okay, that's in namaz. Now outside namaz, okay, that is not compulsory. So you're allowed to delay it, but don't delay it. Sometimes what happens, you forget,
right,
that you did sajda aloud. Mm-hmm. It is still falls upon you to do the sajda. But if it's not possible at that time, okay, just remember it. And whenever you are free and whenever you get time, okay, perform the sajda. Same, you need to be in state of ablution, facing the qibla, standing up. There's no takbir tahrima. So you don't fold your arms, mm-hmm, you don't raise your arms. Mm-hmm. Okay, just stand up. Just make intention, I'm doing the sajda of tilawa. Going to sajda saying Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbil Ala thrice, three times. Saying Allahu Akbar, stand back up. This is sajda.
That's one sajda. That's one sajda. So you don't have to go into sajdas twice.
No, only as one doing, sajda. That's
one sajda. Sajda, one sajda, individual
and
sajda.
And there are 14 sajda in the Quran. The first one is in the 9th chapter of the Quran. And the last one, as you know, Surah Iqra, the last chapter, 30th chapter of the Quran.
And how does one identify the sajda?
Is okay, it's written. Okay, it's highlighted sometimes. It depends the Quran. Okay.
So 90 para, just very briefly. What ruku is it? Yeah. So these people know. I mean.
Okay.
So they notice it.
I think they'll know the last Surah Iqra.
Right. Okay? Fair enough.
Surah Al-Alaq. Okay. So we have a line upon wasjud, and it's written there in Arabic as-sajda. A line there, and it says here as-sajda. Number 14.
So the line is always there. Every time?
Yeah.
Show me another one.
Okay, let me give you another one.
Never seen that before. Oh, not so I say I've never noticed that before.
Okay, so let's go to the first sajda of the Quran.
Mm.
Okay, which is in the 9th chapter. There. Yasjudun. There's a line on top. And then it's written there, sajda. Sajda number one.
SubhanAllah, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. I really didn't know about this line thing. Okay. Just made a new discovery for myself. Jazakallah. MashaAllah, I'll make a note of that now. So the lines are clearly, well, in this Quran, yeah, we were looking
or
at.
Or some Qurans, they're highlighted.
They're highlighted.
It depends on publishers, how they publish, right, the Quran. Yeah.
I mean, I've been reading that Quran for years.
Okay.
I've never noticed, mashallah. Such, you know, mashallah, mashallah. I didn't read it in that context, okay, but inshallah, may Allah give us more tawfiq to do that. But I mean, I never noticed that line before the sajda. Jazakallah for that. Right, what else have we got?
Now, if you just want to mention when you open a Quran, any surah, beginning of the surah, you'll find numbers written on the top. Okay, let's say Surah Al-Fatiha. It says, Surah Al-Fatiha Makkiyatun.
Yes.
That's the title. Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Makki, which was revealed prior to Hijrah.
Right.
Now we see four different numbers. One, it says 7, then 1, 5, and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So the 7, it says, Ayatuha, its verses are 7. So the one on the right, here in this Quran, okay, the one on the right, it says, Ayatuha Sabah.
Mm-hmm.
But the verses are 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have one. This one is the, as I said, the order of the Quran. So this first surah of the Quran.
Okay.
Now if you were to go to Surah Baqarah on the other page, number 2.
Mm.
Okay. Then we have number 5. Number 5 means it's the 5th in the order of revelation.
Oh. Interesting.
You understand?
Right.
Okay. It's the first surah of the Quran. That's what's number 1.
Yes.
The number 5 here on the left hand side,
yes,
is the 5th in order of revelation.
Subhanallah.
Okay. For example, Surah Baqarah, yes, is 87.
Right.
87 in the order of revelation. But okay, it's number 2 in the order of the Quran.
Quran Sharif.
You understand? Right. And lastly, Ruku'uha, the Ruku is one. One Ruku.
One Ruku, right.
So for example, Surah Baqarah, Ayatuha, the verses are 286.
Right.
Order number 2, order of the Quran. The order of the Wahi, the revelation is 87. And the Ruku are 40.
There you go, listeners. You're learning as you go in here. MashaAllah, this is very interesting.
These numbers are very important.
SubhanAllah.
It improves your knowledge as well.
SubhanAllah, indeed it does. And just a couple of more questions. Why is Surah Tawbah, it's a surah in the Quran, the only one, I believe, without Bismillah?
Yes, really? Very good question. People ask this question. Why is Surah Tawbah or Surah Bara'ah, why is it without Bismillah? There are two reasons. One reason, which is very common, is because, now you need to understand, this verse or this surah was revealed when the kuffar, they cancelled their peace treaty with the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They had a treaty, and they, so in Bukhari Sharif, this is mentioned that they cancelled the treaty. And so, in this surah, Allah has expressed His anger.
Yeah,
against those who cancel this treaty, especially the disbelievers. Therefore, this surah is without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because Bismillah signifies peace,
yes,
and harmony. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to express His anger, His ghadab.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why Bismillah was not written. But the most important reason why is because when the Prophet ﷺ left this world, the surah, okay, was in the Quran, but the companions did not know where it belonged to. So some said it belonged to a previous surah, i.e. Surah Anfal. Okay, some companions said this surah is part of Surah Anfal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's only one surah. Okay, some said no, it's a different surah, separate surah. Okay, so we have a gap of Bismillah, but there's no Bismillah written.
Yes.
Okay, why? Because it's a possibility it might be of the previous surah.
Okay.
Or it might be a separate surah. And this is also in Hadith Sharif, when Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was asked, that why is there no Bismillah at the beginning of Surah Tawbah? So the same reason as I gave you is because he said that there was some doubt to this surah being a separate surah, or was it part of Surah Anfal? So the Prophet left the world, okay? And so, now because the subject of Surah Tawbah is similar to Surah Anfal,
mm-hmm,
okay? So they thought it is one surah Anfal. Okay. However, they left a space for Bismillah. It's a possibility that it might be a separate surah. So Allah, that's the reason.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Translation of the Quran Sharif. How important it is, or is it, to read the correct translation of the Quran? There's several translations out there, I believe. Which is the correct one we should read or buy? And why is that? Just briefly, just touch upon that.
Okay, very important question you asked for our listeners. Yes, in the market you find many translations by different translators. Now, one thing have yourself to understand is translation is not possible just by merely knowing Arabic or just having dictionary in your hand. Okay, okay. Any Arab can do that.
Mm.
Okay, having a bilingual dictionary, you sat on a chair, on a table, and you begin translating. This is not possible. First, you need to have enough knowledge. And secondly, you need to have correct beliefs. And thirdly, you need to have love of Allah and the love of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Let me give an example. One of the greatest translations of the Quran is Kanzul Iman. As you know, is translated by our great Imam Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Kanzul Iman was translated. Let me give an example of one verse of the Quran, Surah Duha. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. That Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I'm not going to give you the meaning of Kanzul Iman now. First, I'll give you meanings from other translations. Mm-hmm. This is from Muhammad Asad, okay, translator of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
He translated, now Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the kalam of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He states, or the translator has written, wa wajadaka dhalan fahada, and he found you lost on the way and he guided you. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lost before, now he's found guidance. Ma'adhal, you see? Like, let me give you another example. This is by Ashraf Ali Thanvi. He states, he is translated, "An old prophet, he found you uninformed of the Islamic laws. So he told you the way of Islamic laws." So in other words, the Prophet was ignorant. He didn't have the knowledge of the Islamic laws. Now come to the translation of Kanzul Iman, SubhanAllah. Okay? This translation is a miracle itself. Allah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is of course the English translation of the Urdu. "And he found you drowned in his love, in the love of Allah. And so he gave way unto him. He opened doors for you."
SubhanAllah.
Yeah?
SubhanAllah.
"He found you drowned in his love, in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave way unto you." So Allah abstained from words that may cause, you know, disrespect to the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very important that we should never dishonor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should always respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other translators, they deviated from the truth. Why? Because they disrespected and they dishonored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Kanzul Iman is one of the pioneers in the translations of the Quran. Because not only you understand the meaning, but also it protects your iman, your faith. Not protects your iman, increases the intensity of iman for the love of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important to understand that not all translations are good, okay? Because not all translations are correct. So we need to make sure that we only try to stick to the translations made by our ulama kiram, Kanzul Iman. There's another one, the Al-Quran, okay, and other by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah scholars.
SubhanAllah, mashallah. And just before we move on to the last final question, and I think we should also encourage people to, as well as reading the Quran Sharif and trying to complete as many khatams as possible, try your level best to at least read a translation of, even if it's a surah, or if you're fortunate enough to spend time, just go through the translation of one sipara. I'm sure they'll learn lots of things, amazing things you'll get to discover when you open the translation. Alhamdulillah, and jazakallah again for that. And finally, Marana was saying, yes, again, just wrapping up Ramadan, and people's duties are very strenuous in some cases, but may Allah give us all energy to complete this Ramadan without with more sincerity. Taraweeh, I mean, it's another, like we mentioned, it's a long prayer that people, the men have to make their way to the mosque after iftari and stand for 20 rakats. And how important is it to attend Taraweeh?
Prior to answering this question, I would like you to know the meaning of Taraweeh, the literal meaning of Taraweeh. Now, the meaning of Taraweeh means to rest and relax.
Does it?
Yes. Okay. How did this word get into... how did we get this word? It's because after every four rakats, what we do?
We pray dua.
We pray dua. We relax.
Right.
Okay, we rest for a few minutes. Okay, that's why we get the word Taraweeh. Okay, it means to relax.
Okay. Yeah? Okay.
Now, 20 rakats... it is sunnah muakkada. In other words, it's emphasized sunnah, a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those without a valid reason, if they were to miss sunnah muakkada, Taraweeh for example, then they are committing a grave sin. Okay? Therefore, we should try and come to the masjid if possible and pray Taraweeh 20 rakah, sunnah muakkada. Okay?
Right.
So we should not miss without any valid reason.
And as well as the other namaz is as important,
yeah, of course,
inshallah.
Yeah. Other namaz are farzan, yeah.
Like you mentioned, you get how many times?
Yeah, more for so every letter, inshallah, 700 times or more.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. And let me give you another thing, I just remembered. If you listen to the Quran, you get double the reward.
Listening to the Quran?
Listening to the Quran compared to reciting the Quran, you get double the reward. So if you were to listen to the Quran in namaz behind an imam, so he gets 700 rewards. If you double that, you get 1400.
Allah,
for every letter, You get 14 rewards.
It's incalculable.
It's incalculable.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah? Incalculable.
And then if you were to pray namaz with jama'ah, 27 times more increase. So multiply that 27 times. If you were to imamah, multiply that many times. If you were to do miswak before wuzu, multiply 70 times. Yeah? So you keep multiplying.
Subhanallah.
For every letter, you'll end up with million rewards.
Subhanallah.
And if you go to haram, in Umrah, for example, some brothers might be going to haram, Umrah inshallah, to haram sharif and Madinah sharif, yeah? And then reward is just you can't just count it.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Mercy, mercy, that's the only word that springs to mind when you're mentioning all this. And this is, of course, Allah's rahmat completely showering us in this month. We just have to make sure that we don't miss out on this very little opportunities in life as month of Ramadan arrives. May Allah help us make the most of these months. And I'd like to personally thank you and say Jazakallah for attending this podcast and blessing us with lots of knowledge. I'm sure many listeners found this very interesting, including myself. I mean, some of the things I've just astounded by, I've just never heard of before. So I think this has been a very educational hour.
Inshallah.
And I hope you can appear on the podcast more often.
Inshallah.
And inshallah. Give us a bit more insight into this wonderful world of knowledge in Islam.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah for attending and Ramadan Mubarak. But they must remember to continue
with these
and not just get laid back again as to the early days.
Yes, as I told you, don't forget the objective of Ramadan.
Yes.
Yeah. So listeners, if you read in the Quran, carry on reading the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come, especially the brothers, the men, okay, let them come to the masjid, okay, let this Ramadan be
a life changing. Yeah, life changing.
Yeah.
MashaAllah. And before we listen to Amir Sunni Dawat Islami's Ramadan message, we once more listen to the beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran.
أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير.
تمامی سامعین و سامعات کو ماہ رمضان المبارک کی میں مبارکباد پیش کرتا ہوں. اللہ رب العزت اس ماہ مبارک کے تینوں عاشرے کو عبادت اور ریاضت میں گزارنے کی ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرمائے. سامعین و سامعات, ضرورت اس بات کی ہے کہ اس ماہ مبارک کے ایک ایک لمحے کی قدر کریں. رسول گرامی وقار صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا ماہ رمضان المبارک سے متعلق کہ شہر اولہ رحمت و اوسطہ مغفرت و آخرہ اتق من النار. ماہ رمضان کا پہلا عشرہ رحمت کا ہے, دوسرا عشرہ مغفرت کا ہے, اور آخر عشرہ جو ہے وہ جہنم سے نجات کا ہے. ہمیں کوشش کرنی ہے کہ ماہ رمضان المبارک کے پہلے عشرے میں خوب سے خوب اللہ عز و جل کی رحمتوں کو حاصل کریں, ماہ رمضان المبارک کے دوسرے عشرے میں خوب توبہ استغفار کر کے اپنے دامن پر لگے ہوئے گناہوں کے دھبوں کو مٹائیں, اور رمضان المبارک کے آخری عشرے میں جہنم سے چھٹکارے کی دعا کریں. انشاءاللہ العظیم اس ماہ مبارک میں کی جانے والی ساری دعائیں اللہ ضرور قبول فرمائے گا. اور یہ بھی خاص طور پر دعا کریں کہ جس طریقے سے ماہ رمضان المبارک میں صبح صادق سے لے کر غروب آفتاب تک اللہ رب العزت نے جن چیزوں سے بچنے کا حکم دیا ہے وہ حلال چیزیں ہیں، جب ان حلال چیزوں سے اس نے ماہ رمضان میں صبح صادق سے لے کر غروب آفتاب تک بچنے کا حکم دیا تو اس کی رضا کی خاطر ہم اس کی اطاعت کرتے ہیں، ویسے ہی ماہ رمضان المبارک کے گزر جانے کے بعد جن حرام چیزوں سے بھی اس نے بچنے کا حکم دیا ان حرام چیزوں سے بھی بچنے کی کوشش کریں، انشاءاللہ العظیم ماہ رمضان المبارک کی تربیت ہمیں باقی 11 مہینوں میں ضرور کام آئے گی اور تقویٰ کی دولت ہمیں نصیب ہوگی. جب تقویٰ کی دولت ہمیں نصیب ہو جائے گی اور ہم اللہ سے ڈرنے والے بندے بن جائیں گے تو انشاءاللہ العظیم اللہ رب العزت اپنی بارگاہ میں بھی اور بندوں کے نزدیک بھی عزت سے ہمکنار فرمائے گا. پھر ایک مرتبہ میں سب کو ماہ رمضان شریف کی مبارکباد پیش کرتا ہوں اور ماہ مبارک کی راتوں کو عبادت میں اور دن کو روزے میں گزارنے کی آپ حضرات سے گزارش کرتا ہوں. اللہ عز و جل مجھے آپ کو سب کو توفیق نصیب فرمائے. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.